Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We'll be at a wonderful 4th of July celebration. This week, the Church presents to us in the Gospels the commissioning of the apostles by Jesus to go forth and preach the gospel, to bear witness to who Jesus is. And they're beautiful texts that talk about and demonstrate the coming of the kingdom. You know, it's about Jesus declaring first, he's the first one to go forward and say the kingdom of God is at hand and to proclaim the gospel. And it was accompanied by signs and wonders that pointed to and confirmed the truth and the power and a visible experience and reality of the presence of the kingdom. And he underlines in a number of those passages that the apostles, when he sends them, he sends them obviously to be his witnesses, to give testimony to the presence of the kingdom that they have seen and touched and heard. But later Jesus will say in the end of Luke's gospel in 24 and first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, of course, he tells the apostles to wait in the upper room for the day of Pentecost, which is critical. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. And so, just as the Spirit of God was on Jesus, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. The whole life and mission of the church is a continuation of the reality of who Jesus is, what he possessed, and the presence and the power, the anointing on his life, the Holy Spirit himself given to us. The whole mission of the church is moved, driven, and led by the Holy Spirit. Various documents of the church describe the Holy Spirit as the first agent of the church's mission. So what I want to do this week is look at the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, beginning with the origin of where this whole idea came from of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and what it means for us, those who are baptized, those who are confirmed, and what it means that we, like the apostles, we're small a, we're sent ones. That what to be an apostle means to be a sent one and sent by Christ. We don't have the foundational institutional apostolic authority of the original apostles, and the descendants of the apostles are bishops. But we participate nonetheless, everyone who's baptized, fundamentally in the mission of Jesus. We too are sent ones, and we've been reminded about it again and again and again by the leadership of the church over the last 4 or 5 decades in particular. And just as Jesus went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to declare the presence of the kingdom, bringing the offer of salvation to a race of people who were living as enemies of God, being then made children of God. It's the Holy Spirit moving Jesus. And then Jesus said, when I send you the Spirit will empower you to do what I have done. Jesus has begun this, and it's going to keep flowing, this movement of the Holy Spirit, all the way until he comes again. The work of salvation and the mission of the church originates in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we'll take a good look at it this week and examine both the historic working of the movement of the Holy Spirit manifested in the life of Jesus. And we'll look at the apostles. We'll look at Our Lady, who really is the first disciple. And she's the one, we'll see, at the Annunciation, when this anointing went from the Father to Our Lady, and then later she will be in the upper room and will have a critical role there as well. But let's begin first with just the historic role of the Holy Spirit as the church understands it coming to us through the Old Testament, the prophetic anticipation of what God's plan is, reaching its fulfillment. Remember, in the fullness of time, the letter St. Paul tells us that time reached its fullness in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that fullness includes the anointing of the Holy Spirit being poured out on human flesh, and the Holy Spirit indwelling Jesus in total fullness. But that indwelling now is the paradigm, the beginning, the starting point of what will be poured out. So one passage that's very inspiring for me over the years is from Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 25 through 27. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will put a new spirit within you. And I will put my spirit within you. You see it here again and again a couple times in that verse. I will put my spirit within you. Here's the destination of all of God's saving work that began in the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament, through the patriarchs, through the prophets, through the kings and others. It's leading up to the fullness, and the fullness has to do precisely with the new spirit that would be given to human beings, the Holy Spirit, which Jeremiah would say would give us a new heart, a new capacity to receive the love of God, to walk in the power of God, to live with the conviction that we're children of God, to know with great confidence that we're loved by God, and to understand that the most significant purpose for our existence, you could say, the most important thing that could ever happen to a human being is by the grace of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the mission of the church to come to understand the fundamental meaning of why we're even here on the planet. And then to have experiential knowledge through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the love of God for us and the revelation that God is our Father, that Jesus is our brother and our Lord, and he's the bridegroom. Another good passage from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now, this is the passage that Peter speaks about as he comes out of the upper room on the day of Pentecost. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. I might have got those two backwards, but fundamentally, he's saying then people would speak in tongues and new languages and things, that the anointing of the Spirit is coming. So time is reaching its fulfillment. Kingdom time, the kingdom schedule is reaching its fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. A culmination is happening. There's a universal outpouring. The Spirit empowers the prophetic witness of the apostles, and they're filled with great courage and boldness and freedom. So much happened for them when they encountered the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Is transformational. John the Baptist really is the first New Testament. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament, but in the Gospels, he's the first to talk about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew and Luke's account, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's one of the terms used for the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit, the symbol of fire is used. And obviously on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire came and set upon the apostles. So the manifestation of the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and their hearts get set on fire. Get set on fire with love of God, love of the Father, love of the Lord Jesus Christ, joyfully receiving and being able to live under his lordship, and then a fire that fills them with profound courage. So that's the first proclamation in the New Testament. Jesus is the giver of the Spirit, but John the Baptist is the one who prepares us and prepared them in his baptism of repentance. John 1, 32 through 34, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So he's pointing to Jesus. He's the forerunner, talked about many times on the program over the years. And then Jesus begins. In John 7, 37 through 39, he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is, we receive, we drink in. Another image of the Holy Spirit is like the river of life. and this new life will flow into us. It'll flow from the person of Jesus, who became one of us and took on human flesh, so that he could, as the church reminds us, can sire a new race of people. That is, he will awaken and give new life to human hearts that are deadened against God and the will of God and the life of God, and bring them to new life, new spiritual life. And that life will be like a river flowing through them. And it begins, that the taproot, the source, is the Trinity. And it flows through the person of Jesus Christ to all who bear his image, children of the Father. In Luke 24:49, after the resurrection, the first appearance of Jesus to the apostles in Luke's account, Jesus said, "Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." So this Holy Spirit, the image is it's fire, it's new power to be able to accomplish a particular task as a key dimension of it. Of course, we know that in baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, this very gift. This is where it happens. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit, plunged in our baptism, strengthened profoundly in the sacrament of confirmation. In baptism, we're anointed to become children of God, to share in that new nature that Jesus has brought to us, and he's made possible for us to receive through his passion, death, and resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And in him, we begin to share that. And the ground of it all is we're now children of God. We're united in Jesus to the Father as his children. And then the love of God is poured into our hearts, and we begin to experience the security that Jesus has, the love Jesus has from the Father, that he's received from the Father, that intimacy between the Father and the Son begins to flow in us. Because we are no longer enemies of God, we become children of God. Again, I just want to read that passage. It's so key. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." This is important for us to see. It begins with the apostles, but it doesn't end there. It's a gift given to everyone who repents and says yes to Jesus and yes to the offer of salvation. And in the waters of baptism, when we're born again, we are clothed with power from on high. Friends, that is such an important thing for us to internalize. Do you see yourself that way? Do you understand what Jesus has done for you in your baptism, in your confirmation? He's clothed you with power to be able to become a new creation, to live a new way of life, and to be empowered to follow in his footsteps. It's the grace of entering into the kingdom, the very kingdom that Jesus preached. He said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." The rule of God, the reign of God, the presence of the new thing that God is building in the earth, the kingdom of God. It's critical for us to see and to receive it in faith so that the working of the Spirit can be released in us. We're going to talk about that more tomorrow. Hope you can join me. Have a blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.